Thanks, Rob. Good morning, everybody. My name is Saju, and I'm the vicar here. I lead this church and the church that meets on St. Mary's Island. And I want to extend a very, very warm welcome to you all this morning. I want to tell you a story. I'm not sure if the story is true or not, but that's why I'm going to let you decide if the story is true or not. It's a story of two Australian sailors who disembarked on a ship in Medway. Obviously, this happened a long time ago. They walked into Brompton that night and found their way into one of the pubs. There were loads of pubs. They made their way into one of the pubs. The two sailors enjoyed themselves throughout the evening and had one too many to drink. I can't imagine sailors having one too many to drink, can you? Anyway, they walked out of the pub into the night, into a very dense fog. Completely disoriented, they were wobbling on their feet, and they saw a gentleman coming into the pub. Unknown to them was a highly decorated naval officer. As the officer came closer, one of the sailors turns to him and rather disrespectfully says, "All right, mate, can you tell us where we are?" The officer, obviously very offended by this audacity, the utter disrespect, says to him, "Do you know who I am?" At this point, one of the sailors turns to the other and says, "Mate, we are in real trouble now. We don't know where we are. He doesn't know who he is." Who am I? What is home? What words come to your mind when you think of the word home? When someone talks about home, what feelings does that resonate within you? What is home? I wonder if the image of home is something that you're going to watch in a minute. This is about soldiers coming home. It's 3 minutes long, but I wonder if that is a picture of homecoming. I put that together. So can we have that video clip, please?
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away. Kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. Tell the world I'm coming.
I'm not sure about you, but I find a powerful and evocative image of coming home. We as a church meet on the fourth Sunday of the month in a pub. We meet in Brompton, King George V, and we meet at 5:30 in the evening. Anyone is welcome to it. Just this last month, I was speaking to a man who's not part of the church and who served for many, many years in the army, who's a regular in this pub. And he was telling me about the great challenges servicemen and women face when they come home. Coming home, on the one hand, is a powerful metaphor. It's a wonderful, wonderful image. Yet, he was telling me how it is a great relief. It is an absolute reassurance to come home. Yet, he said to me, there are also some profound challenges of coming home. There is the physical exhaustion, he tells me. There is the mental trauma, he tells me. There is the social hurdles. There can be relational stress coming home. There can be financial demands when you come home. There can be wounds to the body when you come home. There can be invisible wounds that soldiers face when they come back home. My point this morning is, coming home on the one hand is a wonderful picture. It's also a messy picture. One of my friends is a senior doctor in the army. One of the things he tells me, one of the biggest challenges he, as a doctor who trains doctors in the army, says is the whole problem of PTSD. A soldier friend of mine said to me once, "Saju, the hardest part of going to war is coming home. And yet, we all seek home. We all seek a place to belong. We all seek for that sense of certainty." We might use the different words, the parameters we use to describe what that might be is different, but we all seek home. I heard someone say this: home is a place where no matter how big you get, they know how small you are. And no matter how small you get, they know how big you are. I love that. That is a place. No matter how big any of you guys get, they know who you are. And no matter how small any of you get, they know how big you are. There is another side to the coming home, which is not so evocative. Soldiers coming home also know that there are people who haven't made it home. There are people who went to war who have not made it back. Homecoming is beautiful. It is also messy because of the absence of those who did not make it home. And today, of all days, we recall the sacrifices of those precious lives who did not make it home. Because for our tomorrow, they gave their today. So today, we remember. We remember Ypres, Gallipoli, the Somme, the Mons, and the Verdun. Remember the Western Desert, El Alamein, the Normandy beaches. Remember Coventry, Dresden, Hiroshima, and the Burma Road. Remember Korea, the Falkland Islands, Northern Ireland, the Balkans, East Timor, Afghanistan, Kargil, and the Gulf. Remember the courage, the companionship, the ingenuity, the spirit of working together for a common cause. Remember the planning for the better days that would come with peace. Remember the call to arms, the patriotic songs, the parting of which was such sweet sorrow, the sound of the drum and the skirl of the pipe. Remember the carnage. Remember the carnage, the colossal horror of war. Remember the widows of 60 years and more, old men and women who would never see their fathers and mothers. Remember the love that was lost, wisdom that was wasted, the minds that were still stilled by the pain of memories. Remember the families bereft by recent wars and conflict. Remember this day, the children who will die while nations fight nations. Remember the one who asks us to remember them. Today's parable that Rob read so well for us is a very familiar story of a father and two sons. Charles Dickens, the local Chatham man, called that story the greatest story ever told. The story of a father and two sons. It's a shamefully scandalous story of a young man who breaks his father's heart by leaving home. I'd like to think of this story of a young man who was sick of home, who was homesick and was coming home. Think about it. It's a story of a man who was sick of home. "Father, give me my estate." He was homesick because he's sitting in a pigsty. I think most of us would feel homesick in a pigsty. And it's also, most importantly, a story of coming home. The Bible says, when he returned home, when he came home to his father, while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming and he said to him, "My son." Love and compassion forced the father as he ran to his son and embraced him and he kissed him. Can I ask you a question? Why did the father run? Why? Why did the father run in that story? There is a simple answer to that question, but there is a profound answer to that question. And I want to give you both for you to consider for yourself. The simple answer is the obvious one. Why did the father run? The father ran because this son of mine is gone, he is back. Those of you who are fathers know you will probably, whether you can run fast or not, will do that. The son that I didn't want to leave home, he left home, but he came back. Those of us who are fathers and mothers know the depth of feeling. In a human sense, we would do that. But there is a more profound answer that most of us do not know. Because those of us who studied the cultural background of the time know something else. I'm not sure if any of you have ever lived in the Middle East, which is where Jesus told the story. This is a very Middle Eastern story. Have you ever seen an old man running in the Middle East? The answer is no. No man over the age of 25 runs. It is fair to assume that this man in the story has not run anywhere for any purpose for the last 40 years. This man runs. In fact, this story is written in Greek. And the word this guy called Luke, who is the gospel writer, uses is a word for foot races in stadiums. So this man is not doing a slow shuffle walk towards the sun. This man is Usain Bolting it. If you know the background, that is what is going on. This man is not going for a slow shuffle. This man is bolting it. Why? Here is the more complicated answer, but I want you to think with me. In the first century, scholars tell us there is in the Jewish world a ceremony. And the ceremony is called Keziah ceremony. This is what happens. When a son returns home having squandered the property in wild living, he is not welcome. They host a ceremony. And the ceremony will be to do a very pictorial way of actually what this son did. This son has not just broken a father's heart. This son has shamed the community. So the community will gather around the son when he returns. And they will do this. Church wardens are becoming worried here. But this is precisely what they would do because I want you to see it. The community would gather around this man, young man. And you know why? Because it is a pictorial representation of what the son did to the community. The son broke a father's heart. Now let me ask you a question. Why did the father run? The father ran to get to the son before the community got to him. For the father to run in the Middle Eastern culture, he would have had to take away the edge of his robe and run, because I find it very difficult to run in this. He would have had to take the robe in a very humiliating posture, had to go and surround his son. If not, the son will be assaulted and, dare I say, killed. Do you see why the father ran? Keziah ceremony. The father runs and shames himself to get to the son before the community gets to him. This is a humiliating posture for any father. The father knows what the son will face in the village. That is some homecoming, isn't it? Jesus is telling the story to illustrate what God is like. God is like a running father who wants his children home. Christianity is fundamentally about grace. The message of Christianity is that there is a father waiting. The message of Christianity is that there is a running father embracing. There is room in the inn. There is room in his heart for you and for me. St. Augustine was a wonderful, wonderful thinker. You wouldn't have heard him on the radio recently because he died a long time ago. He said this, "Our hearts are restless until they find its rest in you, O God." We as a church exist to help people come home. Come home to the love of the Father, because it is not your behavior in the pigsty that puts us right with God. It is grace that puts us right with God. With such a Father, none of us will ever be homeless. Come home. Listen to this song. It's called The Father's Song.
I've heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody.